Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Two-hour pleasure cruise where, unfortunately, we still have 960 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 16 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. And it won't stop. It keeps getting more and more and more and more. As soon as we think we've had enough, we get another dose. Well, once we finally get rid of this guy, I vote for impeachment. I think it's time. It's past time. Look, I mean, the violations that this man has committed against the American people, against our founding documents, against our founding principles. There's nothing more to do. I'm sorry, but it's time to let this guy go. And I don't want to see him leave after his term is done, because there is no excuse whatsoever why the American people have to pay for this man for the rest of his life. He's going to get a nice, big, fat pension. He's going to get the best security in the world for the rest of his life. He does not deserve it. He did not earn it. He does not deserve it. He should not get it. Unfortunately, I don't think we have a strong enough government, Congress. And for that matter, I think there's still a lot of weak people in this country that for whatever reason, they don't want to fight it. They don't want to acknowledge that there's a problem. Oh, well, it's just, I can't be bothered. Kim Kardashian's on tonight, and I got a big bag of Cheetos right here. I can't be bothered with that. Well, yeah, you can be bothered with it. And you should be bothered with it. I don't want to see this guy leave in a helicopter. I want to see him leave in chains. Not for nothing. But what this man has done, I mean, Fast and Furious right there was grounds for dismissal for everybody. Benghazi, the stimulus packages, IRS. God only knows what the hell that NSA is doing. Look, I know we need to have spies and all that. Blah, 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 blah. I get it. But, I mean, how much spying do you really realistically need to do? And if you're going to spy, why do you need to spy on the American people? Oh, that's right. You see, well, they're not happy with the government. They don't like the way the government is taking away their freedoms. So we're going to get the government to spy on the American people. Now they got a new plan. I read something. Where the hell was that? But they've got a new deal now, the Secret Service. Some kind of program or whatever, is they're going to be monitoring what they all of your Twitter, your Facebook, all the social media crap. They're looking for trends and trying to differentiate what is, well, anti-government and what is just sarcasm. Well, me personally, I think that you people in the NSA can find something much more constructive to do than to monitor Facebook and Twitter. And if the American people criticize the American government, that not only their right, but that is their obligation and their responsibility as a free citizen to ensure that they remain free. And if it means that you've got to criticize the government, then so be it. Finally get rid of this guy. I don't care. At this point, I want him gone. But I really would like to see this man impeached, not because I want to see somebody impeached. I don't like using that word. This is not a blue stained dress scandal. People's lives have been lost. Now we've got every American troop in much, much deeper jeopardy than they're already in. Don't give me this crap that the Taliban and all these other Hamas, all these other frickin' groups, jihad bastards, whoever. It doesn't matter what the stupid name is. They all have one goal in mind. That's to kill you. Period. I swear to God, I mean, I'm a lot calmer than I was yesterday. Last night I was in no mood to, I shouldn't have even really been doing a show last night. I was too pissed. I was out of myself. And I couldn't get anything done. We didn't talk about anything, and then my brother calls up. Screwed everything up. So we're going to cover a lot of ground today. I just need to shut up so we can get to it. But once this Obama nightmare is over with, then we've got to get to work. And that's when the real work begins. But until then, we must, and I mean we must, remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. I know, freedom ain't cheap. But yeah, we can afford it. It's tyranny that we can't afford. So you want to be a part of the program today, don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. And you know it, as well as I do, as long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, today is no exception. So we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. All right, we're officially underway and headed out to sea. Most have made shift colors. All right, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, officials with Liberty Counsel have confirmed they filed a motion with the juvenile court officials asking that the teen be returned to her home with her mother and father. They are talking about Justina Pelletier. I know, I didn't get a chance to talk about her at all yesterday, so I apologize. But the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families the criminal organization, I should say, the criminal organization, Massachusetts Department of Children and Families, Kidnapping Incorporated, has indicated that they will not object to the motion for relief from judgment filed. I guess they filed it yesterday or Monday to bring Justina home. Well, they can't fight it. They don't have anything to stand on. And then once we get Justina out of here, once Justina Pelletier gets home, well, then what are we going to do with all the other tens and hundreds of thousands of children that have been kidnapped by the government? It's not just in Massachusetts. This is a nationwide problem. The DCF in all 50 states. And now we've got, this is in Michigan now. There's a sign on the wall. Let me pull this up, this website here. Where is it? Here it is. Well, it reads on the wall here, what they're trying to do is they just passed this law. And they're doing, again, this all goes, all this stuff that's going on, this is all about Agenda 21. If you don't know what I'm talking about with Agenda 21, just get on YouTube, type in Agenda 21. You'll get enough videos popping up, and you got to do a little homework. I know, it sucks. You got to turn off the Kim Kardashian show, got to get off the couch. But you got to do your homework. We shouldn't have to. We have a constitution. We have freedom. We fought enough wars to get our freedom. We shouldn't have to do this. But if we want to keep our freedom, we're going to have to do it. But what they want to do is they want to take out all of the parental responsibilities. They don't want the parent raising the children. That's not the parent's job anymore. It's the government's job. The doctors raise your children. Well, what they want to do is they want, I guess it's the age, where is it here? I think it's like 11 or 12 to 17. That when you take your child, you can't even take your child to a hospital anymore. Your child gets sick, man. You better hope and pray that you got a really good friend that's a doctor, that he can fix you right there. But you can't take your children into a hospital anymore. They're either going to kidnap them or they're going to take them away from you and have little discussions. They want to talk about, they're trying to tell, look, first of all, it's the parents' responsibility to talk about sex, drugs, birth control, STDs, all of that crap. That's not up to the doctor to talk to you about. It's not up to your school teacher. It's not up to anybody but the parent. Well, this lady brings her daughter in there, into this hospital, and it's got, or a doctor's office, says new Michigan medical records access laws have been put in place. This will require a nurse to have a short 5-minute private conversation with your child. We will explain the purpose and process at the time of the visit and answer any questions you may have. Well, no, they're not going to answer any questions because they don't have the answers. Only thing they know is they're supposed to have a conversation with your kid. It's not your job anymore as a parent. It's now the doctor's offices. It's now the government. The government is now running, is now in charge of your children. And if they don't like the way you're raising your children, they just come into your house and they take them. Literally. They show up at your house with cops and a psychiatrist, and they take the child away. They know better than you. Well, there's another reason why this Obamacare has to go. All this stuff is in Obamacare. They want to have a nurse, private, and a parent. You got a 12-year-old girl, and you're not allowed to be in a conversation with a nurse who's going to talk to your child about HIV and STDs and birth control and sex and all this other crap. What, are you kidding me? That's my 12-year-old daughter. I'm not letting her out of my sight. And you can. Well, this woman did it. I'm not going to go into this whole letter that she wrote. But she did throw a fit. And there's no way to opt out of it. You can't do that. Oh, you can't opt out of it. This is coming from the government. The government. Oh, you can't opt out of the government. This studio is about in degrees tonight. I am just sweating like a pig, man. I know it was a fairly decent day here in New York, but it wasn't that hot. But, man, oh, man, I can't turn the air conditioning on, then I won't be able to hear. But in any event, getting back, God almighty. Shot of grog might wake me up. But this whole notion that the doctors now can talk to your children without you, and by law, you're not allowed to be in the room. By law, you're not allowed to be in that conversation. Any parents out there have a problem with it? I'm pretty sure you do. And if you don't, what are you doing having a child? You don't want to take care of your child? Give it up to somebody that will. But this kind of crap needs to stop, man. And yeah, Mr. O'Reilly, yeah, Nazism can and will and already is in the United States. This is maybe you're supposed to be a history teacher, Mr. O'Reilly. Maybe you should have studied history. I don't know. Just me. All right, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day here. We got a lot of ground to cover. And we got to cover this stupid Bergdahl. First of all, the man is not a sergeant. He's a private. And he was promoted twice in captivity. Now, here's the problem that I have with this. Why was this man promoted twice in captivity when the army knew? They knew that he left his post. They knew he deserted. And they knew where he was. They had actual people on the ground that could tell how many men were guarding him with guns. They knew where he was. They knew exactly where he was, and there was some communication. Why this man was promoted, I don't know. I've got a big problem with that. This man should never have been promoted. Oh, but he's been in captivity for 5 years. Yeah, he served his time. He's not going to be punished. Well, I think the Army might have a little something to say about that, but hopefully the American people might have a little something to say about that. I know his fellow troopers do. Now, I don't know what caused this guy to snap, man. I think it's a very sad and tragic story all the way around. I feel sorry for Mama. The dad, not so much. And I really can't feel sorry for Mama either. I mean, if she knows Daddy is obviously he's Taliban now, too. What is she doing with him? I don't like this story at all, but this man is not a sergeant. I will not call this man a sergeant. He's a private. I just wonder how many terrorists it would take to get that Benghazi filmmaker out of jail. Well, he started Benghazi, so he deserves to stay there for the rest of his life. Yeah, he embarrassed the administration. Well, Susan Rice is now back on the spin trail. And I watched it, you know, I was going to play a little bit of it yesterday. But again, yesterday I was gone. It was a non-show yesterday. I was too pissed to get on the air. But every word, Every answer that she gave, well, I really wouldn't call it an answer, but for the sake of this conversation, you have to call it an answer because she was asked a question. But every answer she gave, and she was on, this was with ABC this week with that George Snuffleupagus, every single answer that she gave was spin and lie. Every single one. And I have them right here. I rewatched it and I said, you know what? I mean, everything this woman, every answer this woman gave is bogus. So I'm gonna lay it all out here. And we're gonna cover every single thing that she said. Now this stuff is important. I know I hate beating a dead horse sometimes, but this stuff is important. And then I've got two clips, the last two at the very end here. Two very short clips, and these are important clips, because she actually said some stuff in here. It scares the living hell out of you. Well, if you're not already scared enough. And if you're not scared right now, you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. I'm scared to death, man. I don't know what the hell this government's going to do next. I'm afraid of getting sick. I'm glad this year I didn't get pneumonia and have to go to the VA. But I do have to say my VA, yeah, they're a little slow. I do have to say that they're a little slow. But overall, I don't have any real complaints. But that doesn't mean that I can't complain about the VA because there's people still on secret lists. And I can guarantee you that's still going on right now, even though this scandal is in full freaking swing. These people will not stop. The only way you're going to stop these people is you're going to have to get them out of office. All of them. Every one of these appointees, the president on down, the entire administration. They're not going to stop. The government's not going to stop doing what the government is going to do until we stop it. We have to do the work here. And first, we need to start getting some better candidates. I'm sorry, but with all the time that the Tea Party has been together and some of the – you couldn't find anybody in Ohio and in Kentucky to challenge McConnell and Bader? How about you there, Reince Priebus? You couldn't find anybody? Oh, that's right. John Boehner's one of your buddies. You don't want to get rid of him. Well, I do. The American people want to get rid of him. And now we've got rumblings of Trey Gowdy now, which I, God damn it, I knew it. I just had a, going to do something to break my heart. It's not him. I'm not there yet blaming him. I'm blaming John Boehner and I'm blaming the system. First of all, this committee is already 2 years too late. But evidently now, Gowdy has brought on this guy. I don't know the full particulars yet, and I'm still trying to find out. And eventually, I'm sure it's going to keep coming out. By tomorrow, we'll have it. But he brought on the team here someone who has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood to be on the investigative team. Well, I mean, if you really want to stretch it, you could see why you would want to have somebody, you know, in the Muslim Brotherhood to find out, you know, inside information. But this doesn't seem to be one of those times. I don't understand why he needs that person there. He needs to subpoena the president. He needs to subpoena the defense secretary. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, I don't care if she's out of office. She needs to be impeached. They need to impeach they need to subpoena Valerie Jarrett, ask her why she was in charge of the Situation Room, why that 19-year-old punk ass, the dude, why he was even in the Situation Room. What was he there for? Who is this kid? He's a baby. Come on. He's still crapping in his diapers, for Christ's sakes. And this guy, he's making decisions in the Situation Room because the president is tired after a two-hour phone call with Netanyahu. He's got to go to bed. What, are you kidding me? First of all, if you want to talk about going AWOL, the president was AWOL. He's a commander-in-chief. When the country is being attacked and you go missing, you go AWOL, you don't show up, how in the hell is that not grounds for dismissal? I don't know. I don't understand how politicians and even some Americans, how they can get up here and how they can defend this. How the hell do you defend anything in Benghazi? You can't. There's nothing defensible in Benghazi, nothing. And yet we have people do it, subterfuge, and no one's going to lose any sleep over it. It's boring. But getting back to Susan Rice, this whole narrative now that they have to make this big distinction of hostage versus American prisoner of war. They have to make that distinction there. It's American prisoner of war, not a hostage. See, they're saying that this is, again, liberals only see the superficial side of any issue, every issue. It's all aesthetics with these people. Well, because he's an American prisoner of war, not a hostage, well, we can negotiate. But we never negotiate with terrorists. Well, yeah, you do. You just did. Served with honor and distinction. This is number two. Served with honor and distinction. Well, I think there's a whole bunch of troopers that served with him that will disagree with that. Especially now we know that he wrote a letter before he left denouncing his citizenship. They went out looking for this guy. He went around the whole neighborhood there in Afghanistan, was looking for someone who spoke English so he could speak with the Taliban. And they picked this up over the airwaves, radio chatter. So they knew this guy was a deserter from the get-go, and the army knew it. They knew where he was. They knew everything. This man did not serve with honor and distinction. Why they are saying that, I don't know. See, I think these people thought that they were going to get a whole bunch of brownie points by the public. Look, we killed bin Laden. We got the last prisoner of war out of Afghanistan. Oh, look at us. We're doing great. Foreign policy. Oh, man, Obama's foreign policy. He doesn't give himself enough credit. Really, Miss Jen Psaki? The president doesn't give himself enough credit for his foreign policy. Well, how much credit do you think he's going to give him on this? Huh? How much credit do you think the president's going to give himself on this? Probably a lot. He traded five Talibans for one Taliban. Those are his buddies. Those are his friends. Jihad, he loves these jihadis. For whatever reason, I don't know. He's putting weapons in the hands of Al-Qaeda, letting them all out of jail. I mean, is this guy, I know he wants to get rid of this Guantanamo Bay, but just releasing prisoners, just to release prisoners, to get rid of the prison, is stupid. Why worry about that? Why worry about it? Guantanamo Bay is a perfect place. They're not on American soil. They're away from everywhere. It's a perfect place. I don't understand. I just still do not understand why. No, and then bring them into America. The rest of them, they want to bring into American prisons? No, these people shouldn't be allowed on American soil, period. I don't care even to stand trial. You stand trial in Guantanamo Bay. And why these men have not been tried already, I don't know. And these five that were released, first of all, what are they doing alive? They should have been tried, convicted, and hung. They should not be alive today to be traded. Served with honor and distinction, she says. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Leaves his post, and he wanted to go join the Taliban. This is what I think he did. I think he thought that, because he was all disillusioned, and he thought the American people were not really helping the Afghanis. And they were, you know, killing them and calling them stupid, and they were this and they were that, and they really weren't doing the job that he thought they should have been doing. So he thought that he'd walk around, didn't have his gun, didn't have anything, and he'd go join the Taliban and try to befriend them. But they're not befriendable kind of people. So it probably took a little while. He was probably a little surprised. Why don't they welcome me with open arms? Well, maybe they did. We don't know. But this claim the administration made for making this ridiculous swap, this is number three, his health. Now, I don't know if anybody's seen this video, Now, I don't know if it came on last night or came out this morning, but I seen it first thing this morning. And then a couple hours later, I tried watching it again, and it's been taken off. And I think the reason why they're trying to shut it down, take it down, but they can't really take it all the way down. There's too many copies of it out there. Once it's out there, once, man. But this whole narrative of his health, and this is her quote, "We had reason to be concerned that this was an urgent and acute situation. His life could be at risk. We did not have 30 days to wait. And had we waited and lost him, I don't think anybody would have forgiven the United States government. Well, everything that you people have done for the past 6 years, none of us are going to be able to forgive what you have done. What you did in Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, Obamacare, stimulus packages, I mean, you name it. Rewriting the Constitution. Now they want to rewrite the First Amendment. They don't like that First Amendment. The First Amendment gives you freedom to speak. And you can believe in whatever you want to believe in. But they don't know. That's a threat to the government. You can't have that. No, no, no. You're free to speak as long as you fit within these parameters. And if you don't know, well, you know, you give us a call. We'll tell you if you can say it or not. But then this is my problem. This is where the hypocrisy is. This is how these people, they just don't think before they go out and spin. They don't think of the consequences of what is about to happen when they spin. So they go out here and they make this, oh my God, the guy's, you know, damn near on his deathbed, and if they didn't move in and act right away, he'd have been killed. And then in her opening statements, she says, well, he's, you know, George Snuffleupagus asked him, well, how's he doing? How's he doing? Well, he's walking. He's in good physical condition. Well, when you watch the video, if they ever bring it back up again, if you can find it somewhere, of when he was being released, sitting in the back of the pickup, one of the guys was talking to him. And he looked like he was nodding his head, like in agreement, yeah, whatever. Then he was taken out. First of all, he did not look malnutritioned. He looked in pretty good health. He looked like he did not look like someone who hasn't eaten in a while. He did not look like that. And I do know what that looks like, because I myself have been there. So I do know what that's like. He did not have that. Looks like he was fit pretty well. He didn't seem to have any trouble walking. His health did not seem to be in jeopardy to me. He looked in pretty damn good health. Well, I think what it was, since they were in talks with these people, the Taliban probably just got tired and they said, okay, you have 1 week or whatever to release these prisoners or we're going to kill this guy. So Obama doesn't know what to do, drops his shorts, and releases them, not thinking of the goddamn consequences. And they thought that this was going to be a big to-do. The American people were going to be all behind us. No, they're not. American people are wising up. They're waking up. They're starting to see your little games here, and they're not interested in playing them. But this whole narrative that his health was in such dire need. I mean, he just needed so much medical attention. My God, he was starving. He was this. He was that. He needed this. He needed, oh, we have to move in. And we got to do it now, now, now. Then they take the video down because they don't want anybody to see that the guy was and not suffering from malnutrition, seemed to be walking pretty good. So they don't want to see that. They don't think. They just don't think. First of all, his health was not the problem. This administration got scared when they threatened to kill him. Which, they threatened to kill everybody. That's their I'm sorry, but you don't negotiate with these people. And look what happens when you do. And now we've got more people wanting to get out now. There's another one in negotiations just today. And this is another bad dude. Well, they're all bad. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in Guantanamo Bay. But there are some, you know, regular buck privates, foot soldiers, that kind of thing. But even them, I mean, a lot of them you can't trust. You can't bring, you can't let them out. First thing they're going to do is they're going to go back to the battlefield and start killing again. If there's no Americans, they'll get a Jew. If there's no Jews, well, then they'll stone their wife. They can always get another one. Number four, this is her quote. We have a sacred obligation that we have upheld since our founding of the Republic to do our utmost to bring back our men and women who are taken in battle. Which, this is nothing but spin. First of all, no one with half a broken wet noodle for a brain believes that this president never leaves anyone behind. I'm sorry, but the evidence is just too overwhelming that he does. You don't believe me? Well, here's what you do. You get on the horn and you call Ambassador Chris Stevens' parents. If you can't get him, maybe you can try Tyrone Woods' parents. Can't get him? You can try Sean Smith's parents. And if you can't get him, try Glenn Doherty's parents. Ask them if our government doesn't leave anybody behind. We shouldn't. That should be our motto, but we should back it up. Those are not words that you just use. You don't use words like that. And I'm sick and tired of people using that jihad word. Oh, they're going to do jihad with this. The politicians love to use that word. Republicans are committing jihad. No. Jihad is a completely, you don't use that word on anything. But jihad. Maybe you should learn what jihad is before you start using it. That's not a word you just throw around there. It's not funny. It's not cute. Jihad is serious. That's a real thing. It's real. I knew about it in the 80s when I was over there. They didn't call it jihad. Well, they did, but we didn't call it that. We just called it holy war. It's the same thing. Same stuff. Number five, this has been a process. This is her quote. This has been a process that has extended off and on. Now, here's right here. This is, I know there's spin because, see, I do a lot of research, and so I start learning stuff. So I'm able to listen to what they're saying, and I'm able to pick out every single word that is spin. This has been a process that has extended off and on for almost 3 years. Well, we're going to get to this. My problem is I just can't shut up. So I got to stick to the script. This has been a process that has extended off and on for almost 3 years. Towards the end of last year, we had some indication there might be possible to return Bo Bergdahl. These discussions, mediated by the government of Qatar, really came to fruition over the course of last week. Now, this is what she should have said. Well, this is what really happened. This has been in consultation for almost 3 years. Yeah, 3 years ago, they wanted to trade him. In 2011. But overwhelmingly, all the committees, anyone that was connected in Congress, you know, to this and had a vote on it, said no. There was a couple that went along with it because, you know, they're liberals. But it hasn't been a process that's been extended off and on for almost 3 years. It came up once. It was turned down. Then it came up again a couple of weeks ago, and they threatened to kill this guy. Otherwise, we're going to if you don't release these five, the worst men on planet Earth, the meanest, most villainous, most ornery, goddamn, just the creeps of all creeps. These people should not be alive today to be traded. It has not been a process that has been extended off and on for almost 3 years. It was brought up once and shot down. Number six, quoting her again, in the past, we've had extensive consultations with Congress. They were well aware that this idea and this prospect, the idea and this prospect, this is her excuse. Maybe I should have wrote up here what the questions were before I just started talking, but I didn't do that, so my fault. But Snuffleupagus was asking her about this whole deal. Well, why didn't they go to Congress? You know, the president, well, he broke the law. It was his law. He signed it into law 6 months ago. So I guess there's a grace period. He signed something into law. Well, you got to wait till a year or so until it's, you know, fully in. But if it's 6 months, you got a bit of a grace period, so you don't have to follow it. Plus, you got a magic pen, you got a phone, you're a president, and you got executive order power. What the hell? You don't have to follow law. You're the president. It didn't say anything in the Constitution where presidents have to follow the law. Especially if you're a king. But in the past, we've had extensive consultations with Congress. No, you haven't. They were well aware of this idea and this prospect. Yeah, they were well aware of it. That's why they shot it down, because it didn't make any sense. They were well aware. Congress was way well aware. Well, see, they were well aware that you did this 3 years ago. Okay, and you brought it up once, and it was shot down by Congress. Then 3 years later, you think this, I mean, you don't have to talk to them again? You don't have to give them 30 days? You could have at least said, hey, look, we're going to go over and do this. We don't have 30 days. They could have done that. They could have got together with Congress and said, look, we don't have 30 days. Here is the reasons why we don't have 30 days. You got this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Now, we're going to do this. We're going to get this guy back. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. But we're going to inform you. We're sorry that we don't have 30 days, but these are the reasons why. They didn't do that. Because they know Congress would have said no. So why? Look, when you want to do something when you were a kid, and you knew that if you asked your mom you could do it, she'd say no. So you didn't ask her. You just did it. Well, that's what's going on here. They didn't ask Congress. They didn't talk to Congress because they know Congress would have said no. And they would have turned it into a big to-do. Yeah, and the guy probably would have died. But look, when you leave your post to go join the Taliban, I mean, you're going to have to expect certain things. I'm sorry. But it seems to be all evident, and if I can ever shut up long enough, we're going to get to this evidence, that he went there specifically to join the Taliban. In the past, we've had extensive consultations with Congress. They were well aware of this idea and this prospect. Was one that the administration was seriously considering. When it came to fruition, the Department of Defense, in consultation with the Justice Department, first of all, what the hell does that mean? Well, they talked to the Department of Defense and the Justice Department. They said it was okay. Is the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice, are they Congress? No. When it came to fruition, the Department of Defense, in consultation with the Justice Department, determined It was both appropriate and necessary for us to proceed in an expedited fashion, and that's what the president decided to do. There's another reason why they had this swap. I don't know what it is yet. I don't know if we'll ever find out. But I don't believe this whole narrative that his health was in the shape that he needed to be rescued immediately. Not buying that. And why these five top Talibans were released. There's another backstory in this. And I don't think we're ever going to find out. Maybe we can. Maybe somebody can, you know, be a whistleblower, spill the beans. Who knows? Maybe we can find an email. Maybe we can find a tweet. But it doesn't take very much intelligence at all to realize that there's a couple backstories here. Now we're going to get in. Now we're going to get into the. We're going to get into the audio clips here. Let's see. Where are we? Okay. She was asked by George what the administration's assurances were that these terrorists would not return to the battlefield. See, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to inform Congress within 30 days. Hey, look, we're going to release, you know, this, and this guy. And here's what we've got right here to ensure that these men will not return to the battlefield. Well, I got two clips here. And he asked her twice for the assurances. Now, I listened to it several times. And I listened and I listened and I listened and I listened. You know what? I didn't hear what assurances they have. Other than, oh, I can't go into details. Really? Oh, I can't go into details, which means they don't either have them, or if they tell you what the truth is, it's going to expose them. You can go into details. I'm sorry, Miss Rice, but yeah. American people need to know what assurances that we have that these men are not going to return to the battlefield. Not only does Congress need to know this, but the American people need to know this. This is our safety too, you know. Well, you listen to these two clips. We're going to play the first one, we'll talk about it, and then we're going to play the second one. But you listen for yourself and see if you can hear the answer. Where's the first one here? Go ahead and play this couple.
...is being sent back to Qatar. There are fairly high-level Taliban detainees. We know that they're going to have to stay in Qatar for at least a year. The question, though, is the law requires assurances that they're not going to be able to return to the battlefield. Senator Saxby Chambliss is saying those assurances so far are feeble. What assurances do you have?
Well, the law says that we need to have sufficient confidence that the risk can be substantially mitigated, and we do have that confidence based on a detailed understanding with the government of Qatar, based on President Obama's personal communication with the Emir of Qatar on Tuesday when it looked like this possibility might be imminent. And those assurances relating to the movement, the activities, the monitoring of those detainees give us confidence that they cannot and in all likelihood will not pose a significant risk to the United States, and that it is in our national interest that this transfer had been made.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How the hell is this in our national interest to take the five meanest, most villainous men on planet Earth and giving them their freedom? How is that within national interest? Excuse me, Miss Rice, but what national interest do we have? And again, you didn't give the assurance, well, they're going to be monitored. Well, we're going to get into that, of how they're going to be monitored. We're going to get into that. So then old Snuffleupagus asks her again, the second time. Now go ahead and play. This is a shorter one. Go ahead and play this one.
What are those assurances, and what happens after a year? In the past, we have seen high-level Talibans who've been released go back to the battlefield.
Well, George, I can't get into the specifics of the understandings, but they relate to restrictions on travel, movement, and the activities of the individuals who will be in Qatari care. But those assurances, I can tell you, are such that we are confident that the risk has been substantially mitigated and that this is, in fact, consistent with the national security interests of the United States.
Unbelievable, this woman. I mean, does she understand what she is actually doing? Did any of these people in this administration, do they understand the effects that they create, that they cause with their actions? Do they understand their actions, how they directly affect the American people, not only in America, but worldwide? I mean, America right now is a laughingstock, man. Nowhere in the world anymore. The only people that want to come over to America are the Mexicans and the South Americans, because they got tyranny. And they think they're going to try to get freedom over here. Well, they do get freedom. We don't. And I got another story in here today. You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. See, that's the Democratic voting base right there is the illegal aliens. And I'm sorry, you aliens coming over here. Okay, look, no one has a problem with people coming over here and wanting to become American citizens. We all came from another somewhere else to get over here. That's the beauty of this country. You can be anybody and still be an American. But you people that are being brought over here by us, and we're allowing you. This administration is basically going over there to Mexico, loading up the buses and bringing them over here. You're not being brought over here, aliens. You're not being brought over here to be citizens. Okay, you're being brought over here to be a vote, and that's it. You are nothing but a vote to these people. You want to come over here, we welcome you, but you're going to have to do it the right way. My family did. They had to leave a couple of them behind. One of them, my grandmother's aunts or something, she was blind. And they wouldn't let her come over because she was blind. Even though they had enough family members that were going to take care of her, they were not allowed to let her come over. You're not being brought over here to be a citizen. You're brought over here to be a Democratic voter. Meaning you vote for the Democrat Party and that's it. And once they find out that you don't vote Democrat, guess what happens? Well, look at this. Well, we've got deportation papers here for you. Well, this is how mitigated these threats really are. Qatar is not sweet and innocent. The Qatar is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, more every day. Don't think for one second. Now, I know Qatar has done some help. They have done some work with the Americans on the war on terror. But they're Muslims. They all stick together. And jihad is real. Don't think for one second that these guys are going to be well monitored. What the hell is that? You monitored? Yeah, you know how you monitor them? You put them in a cage and you check on them every once in a while. That's how you monitor them. And you lock the cage. You throw away the key. You weld the lock shut so you can't fit the key in it. They'd never get out. That's how you monitor them. Well, Qatar has moved these terrorists to a residential compound. I'm pretty sure a nice one, too. And we'll let them move freely about the country. Oh, yeah, you can go anywhere you want to. Oh, yeah. U.S. officials said they would be subject to certain restrictions in Qatar. What? Well, one would include a minimum one-year ban on traveling outside of Qatar. See, because Obama's getting the troops out of Afghanistan, so he thinks that, well, if they can't leave Qatar in a year, and if they do leave in a year, we're not going to have any troops over there, so everything is everything. Well, we're still going to have troops over there. we're still going to have troops over there. We're still going to have people over there. And we're probably going to have people over there for a long time, and I believe we should. It's unfortunate, but this war on terror, it's not going to go away. This jihad, it's not going to go away. A one-year ban on traveling outside Qatar. You really think they're gonna do this? You really think they're not going to be allowed to do whatever the hell they want? You really think they're going to stay there in Qatar? They're not going to go back to Afghanistan? You really think that? Well, no U.S. officials are allowed to be involved in the monitoring. So the U.S., how are they supposed to know that they're still in the country if we're not being allowed to monitor them? Well, I guess we got to bring spies over there. Okay, let's say that we do. We bring a spy and we find this person that's over there. What can we do now? We don't have any more troops to go kill him, but he does have a drone, so I guess he can kill him with a drone. I mean, do these people think they have been granted Qatari residency permits? They will not be treated like prisoners, and no U.S. officials will be involved in monitoring their movements. None. A diplomatic source said Qatar has flown family members of the five released Talibans and gave them accommodation paid for by the government. I'm just wondering what government? Our government? I certainly hope that ain't the case, but I wouldn't be a goddamn bit surprised. Now this is a breaking news. This is what I want to talk to you about. We got to get into this. The Pentagon on several occasions had ground-level intelligence on where Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, again, he's not a sergeant. I'm going to take this out here. Why did they put that in there? He is a private. He does not deserve the rank of sergeant. He was a deserter. You do not promote deserters. The Pentagon on several occasions had ground-level intelligence on where Army Private Bo Bergdahl was being held in captivity, down to how many gunmen were guarding him. But Special Operations commanders repeatedly shelled rescue missions because they didn't want to risk casualties for a man they believed to be a deserter. And I don't blame them. There was enough guys died looking for this creep. And I feel sorry. I don't mean to call him a creep, but he is a creep. Something went haywire in him, man. I don't know what it is, what happened. But and Daddy, I don't know what the hell happened to him either. I mean, none of this stuff makes any sense to me. That's why I'm thinking there has to be some bigger backstories here. We don't have that information yet. This story is not going to go away anytime soon, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, commanders on the ground debated whether to pull the trigger on a rescue several times in recent years, according to one of the sources, a former high-level intelligence official in Afghanistan, who said that the conclusion each time was the prospect of losing highly trained troops was too high a price to pay for rescuing a soldier who walked away from his post. And I don't blame him. Good for them. A second source told the Washington Times that the rescue operation plans were high risk and became even less attractive in recent months when officials in the Pentagon's Joint Special Operations Command grew convinced that the Taliban and the militant, I can't pronounce it, Haqqani, I guess is how you pronounce it, Haqqani, whoever. They're all the same crap. All these names. Haqqani, whatever. Their network, whose operatives were holding Private Bergdahl, were eager to cut a deal for his release. That's right. They've always tried to get these guys out. They always want to do this crap. Well, a high-level congressional aide on the condition of anonymity, which I'm sick and tired of these anonymities. I mean, how do you know that this is real? I mean, I believe what I'm about to say here, but I mean, you hear this too often. Oh, I must remain anonymous. Well, how do you know that what they're telling you is real? I could say, don't keep me anonymous, and I can give you all kinds of stuff. Yeah, print this. A high-level congressional aide, I know why people do it. I mean, I'm just pointing out that I'm sick and tired of all this anonymity. Oh, and I can't go into details. I'm sick of all this crap. And it's everywhere, and everybody uses it as an excuse. Oh, I can't go into details. It's all top-secret government information. Can't discuss it. It's an ongoing investigation. I can't discuss anything. Well, a high-level congressional aide on the condition of anonymity said, Joint Special Operations Command always had the rescue mission on the table, and it was entirely under their ownership. But the big question centered on whether Bergdahl was somebody you risk lives for when you still have the time and space to maneuver diplomatically. Military commanders were loath to risk their people to save this guy. The mentality was, we're not going to lose more of our own guys on this. Well, we're going to lose more of our own guys by doing this anyway. These five Taliban guys are going to go back to the, they're going to go back to war. Come on. Oh, but they're going to be monitored. They're not allowed to leave Qatar for a year. We're not allowed to monitor them. They are. But they shipped the families in there. So now they're living high on the hog. Oh, they're probably nice accommodations. Oh, yeah. Well, let's get into this now. We have to discuss. I mean, this is a serious discussion. And I don't like using this word impeachment. I know I use the word impeachment a lot, but I don't like using that word lightly. Because this is not something that we want to do. But we have to do this. And here's the problem that I have too much. The only problem I guess I can see with impeachment is that the next Republican president that gets into office, the first thing the Democrats are going to do is impeach. Impeach, 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 impeach. I was not pleased with what happened with Bill Clinton, why the Republicans wanted to impeach him over staining a blue dress. I thought it was a complete and total waste of frickin' time, especially when there was a lot of other things that you could have possibly impeached him on. All the mysterious deaths with the Clintons. Flight 800 was one of them. But you're going to impeach him on lying about blowing his wad on a 19-year-old intern? Come on. Come on. I'm sorry, but I wasn't pleased with that at all. I wanted the man out. I still don't like Bill Clinton. I never liked him. I don't like his wife. I don't like any of them. And I wanted to see the guy go, but I didn't want to see him go that way. Because it wasn't legitimate enough. Yeah, did he lie? Of course he lied. But it's the kind of lie. I mean, who's not going to lie that they're cheating on their wife in the Oval Office? But what this president has done, this entire administration, what this man has done just through the preamble of the Constitution, we can impeach him just on that. Just the preamble. Read the preamble. Provide for the common defense. What, releasing Talibans? Getting our border open? Anybody can cross the border? Is that providing common defense? How about promoting the general welfare? Let's close the coal mines. Let's close the oil industry. Let's do everything. Let's get rid of the light bulb. Let's do whatever we can to destroy this economy. Is that promoting the general welfare? Well, the law that this president is accused of breaking, the National Defense Authorization Act, which I hate this act. Congress should be ashamed of themselves, of the bills that they have passed. I don't know how anybody in Congress can actually sleep with themselves anymore. I don't get it. How do you get to that level where you can do the things that this Congress is doing and go to sleep every night and then get up the next morning to do more? Well, this act requires the Defense Secretary to notify the appropriate committees of Congress not later than 30 days before the transfer or release of detainees from Guantanamo. I think they should allow the American people to know this. Screw Congress. I think the American people need to know this. Look, I'm sorry, but the government has to talk to the American people. But the American people don't exist in their eyes. They're only there for votes and to do whatever they want them to do. Other than that, there's no reason for any citizen. You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to tell them. And if you do, you don't have to give them the truth. Chuck Hagel, this guy is a waste, man. He's a slouch. I know he's a combat veteran and all, but, I mean, this guy is, he's just a, I mean, just a chode, man. I mean, he doesn't seem to be a very smart guy. I mean, when you ever seen any of the hearings, I mean, he has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't seem to, I just don't understand why these people are put into positions of authority and of power when they're idiots. But Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, is required to explain why prisoners are being let go. He's got to come out and explain it. Well, he can't. He can't explain how to tie his own freaking shoes. Why it is in the national security interests of the United States and what the administration has done to mitigate the risks that the terror targets will re-engage in war against the United States. Well, see, they're in a nice community in Qatar, and the Qataris are going to monitor them, and they're not allowed to travel. So that's good enough. That's acceptable. That's acceptable. Obama signed a stupid law in December. Sets budgets and policy for the entire Defense Department. But he issued a statement saying that he thought the notification requirement was unfair. And this is what he wrote, the president. In certain circumstances, it would violate constitutional separation of powers principles. What the hell do you know about separation of powers principles? You have no separation of powers principles. I mean, what the hell? The executive branch must have the flexibility, among other things, to act swiftly in conducting negotiations with foreign countries regarding the circumstances of detainee transfers. No, you don't. You don't need any more goddamn executive power. You've got enough. Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. The President and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, I think we have ample evidence to prove several high crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors are those crimes committed by people of authority or power, meaning they're the only ones that could possibly do it. That is high crimes and misdemeanors. Mr. President, you have committed far too many high crimes and misdemeanors. You need to be removed. It's high time now the American people... We've got to have a serious discussion. And see, this is it. Now, you can get Congress involved in it. You can get Congress involved like crazy. But unless you have the American people behind it, it will never get done. We've never impeached a president. We've tried. Well, the House has impeached, what, three? Well, they tried with Nixon, but he resigned. What was that? Johnson or Jackson or something like that. I remember learning about him in it was over corruption. I think it was a bribe or something. I think it was a bribe he took. And then, of course, with Bill Clinton, and the Senate shot it down. But the American people weren't behind it. We're starting to see some people start getting behind it. We don't have any more choices. I mean, my God, what this man has done with this entire administration, and it's not just him, it's government. I know government has been like this for a long time, but what this man did, I mean, he took complete and total advantage, far beyond what the government has already taken advantage of. But what happened in Fast and Furious right there, not only was that he should have been impeached, but they should have gone to jail. You don't – look, I couldn't give a whole bunch of weapons to the Mexican drug cartels. I couldn't sell them a whole bunch of weapons and not trace them and not go to jail for the rest of my life. What he did in Benghazi. Yeah, Mr. President, the embassy's on fire. We're being attacked. We can't find our ambassador, and they got all kinds of people out there. They're using mortars and machine guns, and we're being attacked. Okay, I'm going to go up and eat. Then after he gets done eating, he has a two-hour phone call, and then after that, well, Valerie goes down to the Situation Room to take control. She's got to be in charge. I guess she's the de facto president. I don't know. But we don't know where the president is. I have no idea. Okay, that's AWOL. You go AWOL, you get in trouble, right? Yeah. If you go AWOL, yeah, you're going to get into a lot of trouble in the Army. Well, he's the commander-in-chief, which means he is the top. He's top of all the military. I don't care if he's a president or not. He was AWOL. Our embassy is being attacked. That's American soil. It may not be in on the 48, but it is American soil. Our embassy was being attacked. Our people were being attacked, our citizens, our military, our ambassador. He was raped, cattle prodded, murdered, and this guy goes up and eats and then gets on the phone for 2 hours to kiss and make up with Netanyahu for dissing him. And then after that, we don't know. We don't need Trey Gowdy's hearing. We need a grand jury, period. We need the president up there. We need everybody involved. Hillary Clinton, that godforsaken Eric Holder. My God, this man. I mean, this guy, I mean, he is the top criminal. And this guy's a... unbelievable. Head of the entire Justice Department. One of the biggest crooks we have in this country. Again, if we're going to impeach this president, and the evidence is overwhelming, and if you don't know the evidence, again, you got to stay out of the conversation. You got to start paying attention. Start reading, start listening, start learning, start doing. Start living. But if we're going to get this done, if we're going to be successful, the American people have to be behind it. I know I'm behind it. I know everybody listening to this program is behind it. Well, several Tea Party-affiliated members of the House of Representatives have announced that they will formally file articles of impeachment against President Barack Hussein Obama. The specific language of the articles has not been publicly released, but they relate primarily to the Benghazi terrorist attack and subsequent cover-up, as well as the illegally altered implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Well, you can put on this prison swap. You can put the IRS on there. You can put Fast and Furious. You can put the stimulus packages. 800 and some odd billion dollars taken out of the American taxpayers' kitty and handed out like candy to his friends. How many people can take $800 billion from, let's just say, I don't know, Fort Knox? Any bank? Any place that has 800 and some odd billion dollars? Take that money, hand it out like candy to your little friends? Pretty sure you're going to go to jail for a long time. I mean, what is a felony? I mean, you can go to jail for I don't know how many years for stealing $100,000. This is 800 and some odd billion, almost $1 trillion. He should have been impeached for that one. None of the money went to these shovel-ready jobs. There were no shovel-ready jobs. There were no jobs. This was so his campaign donors and his union buddies can get their payday. They made money. Look, when you give a campaign donation is not supposed to be a monetary investment. I give you X amount of dollars. I expect you to go out there and buy a campaign ad, do whatever you got to do to get yourself elected. Buy up some brochures, do this, do that. Whatever you're going to spend the money on. But once I give you that money, it's gone. I don't get a return on that money. These people are making a profit. These donors made a profit. Imagine that you give money to a campaign, they win, and not only do you get that money back, but you get more. You get a big return. These guys get all this money, free money, to open up a green company. And there were several more than just Solyndra. There was a whole bunch of them. They had no intention whatsoever of conducting any business whatsoever. And once they went out of business, which that was the goal, they get bonus checks. You can put that on your list too there, Ms. Bachman. Ms. Bachman, who helped lead this effort, and I like her. I know she's got some ethical problems here and there, but they all do. You can't get around it anymore. You can't get away from it anymore. It's ridiculous. But she's getting out. But she does say a lot of good things. I do like the woman. She's a smart cookie. Michelle Bachman, who helped lead the effort, provided the following comment. President Barack Hussein Obama has violated the laws of our country and our most sacred document, the Constitution. Violated? He's done a little bit more than violated. He's taken it out. He's ripped it to shreds. He's urinated on it. He's set it on fire and burned it. She continues in her statement, in investigations of both the Benghazi attack and the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, first of all, it's not affordable, and there is no care. We have uncovered clear violations of our laws. We believe these violations are of such severity so as to make impeachment necessary. He will be held accountable for his actions. Formally introducing articles of impeachment to the House of Representatives in the following days, where they will be put to a vote. We hope that this marks the beginning of a new era in Washington and the end of the dishonest and misguided leadership this administration has offered. Well, there's only one problem. If you put these articles of impeachment in here, you know the Senate's going to poo-poo it. So the only way to get this done, again, is in November. This election is all the other – look, in 2008, it was extremely important election, and we lost that. Then in 2010, we won some seats. We got the House back, so we started moving. Then 2012, which was even much bigger election. We lost that. Now, this midterm election, this one here coming up in November, this is your last one. I'm sorry, America, this is it. This is do or die. And yeah, I do mean die. Literally, you will die. your quality of life will drop. Your livelihood will be gone. Quality of life is what kills. I'm sorry, but you go to poor countries, and I've been to a lot of poor countries. They don't have a lot of old people. They die off pretty early. Well, that's what they want. They see there's too many people on planet Earth. Again, going back to Agenda 21. There's too many people on Earth, and Earth is for the animals, not for people. Well, maybe if these people pick up a book once in a while, they might realize that, well, people are animals. We're nature. I'm sorry, but we're animals. That's fine. People think that human beings are not animals. Only animals are animals. Well, human beings are no different. We're animals. Well, I hope this works. But if we're going to do this impeachment and do it right, and I believe it needs to be done, not just because I don't like this guy, and I don't. I didn't like Bill Clinton either. But I didn't want to see him get impeached. Not that way. I wanted to see him get impeached. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But not for staining a blue dress. That was ridiculous. Well, this is not a blue dress scandal here. Literally, lives have been lost with this man. Time and time and time and time again. We don't know how many people actually died in Benghazi. We don't even know the total number of people that were there. We don't know the total number of people that were seriously injured. Did anybody die after that? We don't know. They changed their names. They put these people in all these different hospitals around the world. There was more than just four that died in Benghazi. Let's see, they had secret, State Department and CIA and, top agents that were there because they were facilitating weapons deals with Al-Qaeda. Well, we don't know the total number of people that actually died. I don't think this committee that Trey Gowdy is going to do is going to get to that. And if this is true that he hired a person who's got links to the Muslim Brotherhood to be put on this committee, as far as the investigation team goes, Trey, I'm going to need a real good explanation here. And you know how I feel about you, Trey. I'm your buddy. All right? I'm behind you all the way. I am your ally, and I always have been. But I warned you, don't break my frickin' heart. But you're doing it. I can't trust anybody in Washington anymore. Nobody. None of them. I don't know what the hell's going on with this, Gowdy. I'm still your ally. I'm still your ally until I get confirmation that you did something really stupid. I certainly hope that you have a damn good explanation if you did this. Maybe there's a reason for it. I don't know. But I will give you the benefit of the doubt if you can explain it to me. But if not, I'm sorry, you're done too. Isa, you broke my heart. I don't know what the hell your problem was. But yeah, you love these committees. Boy, you get up there and you pound your chest. Oh, yeah. You can get a committee going. Okay, fine. But what do you do after the committee? What do you do after the hearing is over? Well, you hold somebody in contempt, which means what? What the hell is the point of having these hearings if Congress doesn't have any power to act? That's why we shouldn't have any more hearings. We need to have grand juries. Where hopefully we get a responsible judge and they can act. You go to jail for the rest of your frickin' life. There needs to be a lot of people go to jail. I'm sorry, but this government, we have to fix this government. The government's not going to fix it. We have to do it. We need better people running for office. I still can't figure out why nobody in the Tea Party, nobody in the Republican Party, nobody anywhere, could put somebody, couldn't find anybody in Ohio or Kentucky, a real conservative, to challenge Boehner, challenge McConnell. Now, if they win, we got to deal with them again. Well, John Boehner should not be Speaker of the House anymore. Who should be the Speaker of the House? Well, I was hoping Trey Gowdy, but now I'm confused. I don't know what to think of any of this crap anymore. But at least the White House, though, you know, at least getting back at this Bergdahl, at least the White House did apologize to the Senate Intelligence Committee chairwoman, Dianne Feinstein. See, she tried to throw a fit and act like she's all outraged and, oh, nobody told me, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Shut up. This woman has to go, too. California, what the hell is your problem? I mean, you picked the winners, man. Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein. What the hell's the matter with you people? Feinstein tells reporters that she received a call from Deputy National Security Advisor Tony Blinken on Monday evening apologizing for what the administration is calling an oversight. Now, when I read that, I went, now, wait a minute. It was an oversight? Why they didn't call Congress? Well, wait a minute here. I'm thinking it was because his life was supposedly in danger, wasn't his health, to the point where they had to swoop in and they had to trade these Talibans for this guy. They had to do it boom, boom, boom right away. I thought it was his health. Now they're saying it's an oversight. What is it? What is it? Well, let me tell you what it is. They didn't go to Congress because they know Congress would have rejected it. That's why they didn't go to Congress. Again, when you were a child, you wanted to do something, but you knew if you asked your mom, she'd say no. So you did it anyway, without her knowing. And then she knew it anyway, and you got in trouble. Oh, this is what happened here. They thought the American people wouldn't find out what they're doing. Well, the American people are paying attention. I'm sorry, but thank God for this Internet. If it wasn't for this Internet, we wouldn't have any idea of any of the stuff that is going on. The media doesn't want to report it. They're not going to report that stuff. So thank God for that Internet. If it wasn't for the Internet, we wouldn't know any of this stuff going on. None of it. Everyone would think that Bergdahl, oh, he was a hero. We'd have never known that he wasn't a hero. He was a deserter. And the Army knew it. The Army knew where he was. They could have gotten him, but he was a deserter. So why should they go in there and risk a whole bunch of lives to save a deserter? Well, it's an oversight. An oversight. An oversight. Don't you love that excuse? Well, we didn't mean it. It was an oversight. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here. Oh, my God. Only 30 minutes left? Man, I got to move quick here. I didn't think I talked that long. I mean, I knew I was talking, but Jiminy Christmas. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here and see what kind of booty we can plunder. Israel, deeply disappointed with the United States. Well, so is the United States deeply disappointed with the United States. We'll find out what the hell that one's all about. Promise made, promise kept. Energy costs will now skyrocket. That's right. Obama signed it into law Monday. Well, Congress is trying to block it. What they're trying to do, well, in the House anyway. The Senate loves this stuff. But the House is trying to block it so that these rules cannot, the president and the EPA cannot just make rules, make law, destroy industries, destroy people's quality of life and way of life, end their lives without going through Congress first. Congress wants to destroy your life. They don't want anybody else to do it. Mannequin in Obama mask is hung from a Missouri bridge. Well, this was done, I think, Monday night or Tuesday. I think it was Monday night after the news of this Bergdahl. Well, American people are pissed off. We can't take any more of it. And you're going to see more stuff like this. The veterans now are receiving letters prohibiting them from purchasing and possessing the receipt or transport of a firearm or ammunition. They're handing out these letters to these veterans coming home. See, because according to Dianne Feinstein, all of them, all combat veterans are mentally ill. All of them. Every single one of them. And she's a committee chairwoman. So she knows. And she's been in Congress for a long time. So, I mean, she would know who's insane and who isn't. Who's mentally ill and who is not. She's mentally ill. And the people that vote for this bimbo are even more mentally ill. Oh, look at this now. Isn't this an interesting story? Global warming makes couples cheat. So because of global warming, that's why everyone's cheating. Well, there isn't global warming. And people are going to cheat because people are people. Why they do it, I don't know. I don't know. Why people do anything, I don't know. But global warming has nothing to do with it. This is a stupid story. I don't even know why the hell these people put this in here today. I tell you, I got a crackpot crew. I tell you, sometimes they put crap in here. I got to read this junk. 500 illegal aliens a week will now be released into the United States. That's right. Wait till we get to that story. If we don't get into it tonight, we'll get into it tomorrow. But that's an important story we got to get into. Again, is that now providing for the common defense of the American people? Is that promoting the general welfare? Well, they're taking these guys. They came in from Texas into California. Well, now California has them. The San Diego sector. And now they're just going to ship them and drop them off at this town. I can't remember the name of the town. We'll get to it. They got no bus station. There's nothing there for them. No facilities for them, you know, not to eat, whatever. I mean, if you're going to do that, there's still people. I know they're illegal aliens, and I know they're breaking our law, and I know they have no business being over here, but they're still people. They're still people. You can't do that. And you're hurting the other communities, and you know there's going to be a 500 a week? 500 a week. 500 a week. Into this town. Well, there's going to be a lot. Well, they're supposed to check in every week. Yeah, that happens. I mean, you're free to do whatever you want to, but you have to check in. They're going to check in, all right. Yeah. And same with those Talibans in Qatar. Yeah, they're going to check in. Hell yeah. 500 illegal aliens a week. Wow. Wow. No place for them to eat, no place to go to the bathroom. Most of these guys, they're gonna turn into crime. Now, if you're living in that town, and they don't have to tell you when they're not telling them either. They're just doing it. But if you're living in that town, and every week you get 500 more of these illegal aliens coming into your town, yeah, naturally you're gonna be a little frightened. There's gonna be a lot more crime. Why don't they just put them all on the bus and send them right back to Mexico? Let them deal with it. We don't keep them in here. Oh, that's right. See, the Democrats are losing their voting base, so they need more legal aliens in order to win. That's what this is all about. Any of this stuff going on, anything a Democrat, anything a politician, period, is doing so they can get another vote. That's the only reason why they do anything, is to get that vote. That vote is so important to them. Harvard graduate, Chucky Schumer. Well, he doesn't seem to know. He's a Harvard graduate. And he's a member of the Senate. Oh, yeah, he's smart. Well, he doesn't know who wrote the Bill of Rights. He thinks it's Thomas Jefferson, which we all know that Thomas Jefferson had nothing to do with the Constitution. He was in France at the time, kind of, you know, most of us learned this kind of stuff when we went to school. But see, he went to Harvard. They don't teach that in Harvard. obviously. What do they teach in Harvard? Every person that I've ever seen on television or even met that is a Harvard lawyer or been to Harvard. Now, I know this is supposed to be one of the greatest universities out there, one of the most prestigious universities in the country. Well, they sure produce a lot of idiots. Every time I hear somebody on television, a Harvard lawyer, immediately their credibility is shot. And then when they open their mouth, they prove it. Well, Mr. Schumer, you might want to grab a history book. Thomas Jefferson did not write the Bill of Rights. And he did this on the Senate floor. There was a debate. And the debate is about the First Amendment that he wants to get rid of. He doesn't like that First Amendment. It's all about that campaign of finance laws. They don't like that because the Koch brothers are giving money to the Republicans, and the Democrats aren't getting it. And this amendment that he's pushing for would grant the government the power. Listen to this. Would grant the government the power to control all campaign spending. So the government controls all of the campaign spending. The government. He wants that power. Why does he want that power? Because he's going to take all that money. He's going to give it to where he wants to give it to. The Democrats. Making sure the Republicans have no money. That's the only reason why he wants to do this. Look, the law's for everybody. You can disagree with the law, but Democrats can give money too. They don't seem to have a problem with George Soros giving millions and millions of dollars. They've got other very, very wealthy donors in the Democratic Party. They've got unions. My God, the amount of money unions give? I mean, what more do these people want? I mean, Republicans, they don't have as much money as you think they do. I'm sorry, but there's more money in the Democratic Party than there is in the Republican Party. And the Tea Party are not the rich, white, gray-haired, white men. Most of the Tea Party are women. There is no war on women. There's a war on freedom. That's what there's a war on. I think we ought to fight that war. That's a war I'm fighting. Well, they want the government to control all campaign spending, including individuals, candidates, and outside groups. So even you want to give money. Let's say you want to give money to Tea Party candidate X. Well, the money comes in, obviously it's now going to have to go to Chuck Schumer. He's going to take that money, and he's going to distribute it to where he wants to give it. It shouldn't go to this Republican Tea Partier, because we all know Tea Partiers are haters. And they're racists, and they're homophobes, and they're all this phobe and that phobe and everything else. So they don't deserve that money. This money needs to go to the Democrats, because they believe in peace and love and unicorns and rainbows for everybody. Well, Republicans argue it's an assault on the First Amendment's protections of free speech. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, it is. But Mr. Schumer says the First Amendment is not absolute. Now, I am sick and tired of this stupid excuse that these people love to use. Well, the First Amendment's not absolute. It allows for laws banning pornography and endangering public safety. This is his excuse for this. Well, first of all, it's not pornography. And it's not endangering the public safety. This is just money. People giving money to a candidate. Now, granted, is money going to candidates? Is it a little screwed up? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But how else are you going to do it? I mean, how else are you going to do this? How can you monitor? What they want to try to do is so every candidate has the same amount of money. So let's say that candidate A, which is a Democrat, and candidate B, which is a Republican, a Tea Partier, a racist, a hater. Well, candidate B gets, let's say, $1.2 million. Candidate A only gets $800,000. So there's $400,000 here. That's a difference. So what they should do is just take that $400,000 and give it to candidate A to make everything even. See, then everything, or 200 over there, then everything's even. All candidates have the same amount of money. Oh, wouldn't that be beautiful? No, it wouldn't be beautiful. Because that's not what they're going to do. They're going to make damn sure the Democrats get all of the money. They're trying to get rid of the Republican Party, period. They're trying to put an end to the Republican Party. And if we allow them to do it, they will do it. But we got to fight this. And don't give me this goddamn excuse anymore. I'm sick and tired of this. There's nothing absolute. The First Amendment is not absolute. You can't cry fire in a crowded theater. Well, calling fire or crying fire in a crowded theater, that's not a First Amendment issue. That's not about freedom of speech. That's not a freedom of speech issue. Yeah, you're speaking, but you're also creating a big, huge freaking disturbance. Unnecessarily, that's committing a crime. That has nothing to do with freedom of speech. Your argument, Mr. Schumer, is ridiculous. You are ridiculous. Oh, great. Government now considering freeing another Guantanamo inmate. Well, we're going to hear a lot more about these. They're going to come out every day. It's going to get more and more and more. See, I think that's what he wants to do, just have like a fire sale. Just start getting rid of them. Handing them out to other countries. Let them deal with them. All right, let's find out what's going on here in Israel. The Israeli ambassador to the United States, late on Monday, slammed the Obama administration for its willingness to work with the new Palestinian unity government formed earlier that day. Ambassador Ron Dermer expressed in a series of statements on Twitter that Israel is deeply disappointed. Oh, I think Israel has been very deeply disappointed in the United States for a long time, and with due cause. For whatever reason, this Muslim president of ours does not like Israel. Dermer said Hamas, which has united with the Fatah Party, is a terrorist organization that has murdered hundreds of Israelis and launched thousands of rockets into Israeli cities. But see, this is what it is. Our president, he just can't wait to have conversations with Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Iran. He loves all these bad guys. He loves all the bad guys. Wherever you're a bad guy, he loves to have a conversation with you. I mean, I think the evidence, it does point. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but the evidence does point that this president is working for the other side. And there's a lot of other sides out there. He doesn't seem to be too particular on what other side he works on or works for. As long as it's anti-American, he's going to be on that side. And he's going to help them out. He'll give them weapons and give them their prisoners back. He'll do whatever it takes. Hamas still remains committed to the destruction of Israel. That's their purpose. That's their goal, is to get rid of Israel. Wipe it off the face of the earth. Iran wants to get rid of Israel. And now it looks like the United States wants to get rid of Israel. Which, if we lose Israel in the Middle East, that's going to have some devastating factors involved with that one. So a Palestinian technocratic government backed by Hamas should be treated accordingly, Mr. Dermer tweeted. With the suits in the front office and terrorists in the back office, it should not be business as usual. State Department spokesman is Jen Psaki. This woman, and that other one, that other blonde, I mean, she's like a the arrogance in these people, and they're arrogant. These are not nice people. I mean, they're rude, they're condescending, they're arrogant, they're obnoxious. They don't seem to be very intelligent. Maybe they could be. Well, she tells reporters on Monday that the United States is willing to work with this newly formed government. Yes, sir, we are. We're willing to work with them. They're terrorists. They hate America, so we're willing to work with them. They want to destroy Israel. Well, so do we. So we're willing to talk to them. It appears that President Abbas has formed an interim technocratic government that does not include ministers affiliated with Hamas. Moving forward, this is Psaki saying this. Moving forward, we will be judging this government by its actions. Based on what we know now, we intend to work with this government, but we'll be watching closely to ensure that it upholds the principles that President Abbas reiterated today. Working closely to ensure. What are you going to do to ensure, huh, sweetie? Huh? You're going to do nothing. Dermer said he appreciated strong statements from both Democrats and Republicans in Congress Monday against the new unity government. Several lawmakers, including House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, which this guy broke my heart too, called for a suspension in aid to the Palestinians. Why are we giving aid to the Palestinians in the first frickin' place? That doesn't even make any sense. And why do we give money to Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia doesn't need any money. Saudi Arabia needs nothing. Why are we giving all this money to these people? Why are we giving money to the Palestinians? Well, because they're poor? Well, of course they're poor. Because their government won't, they're like our government. They won't allow the people to have jobs because then you can't control them. If people have freedom, they're not very easy to control. It's pretty simple. Psaki, however, said the United States wouldn't pursue that move at this time and said the State Department considers the assistance important. Shut up. I get tired of that woman. And that other one, that blonde, I can't remember her stupid name either. All of them. All right, let's get into this. We got a little bit of time left. I want to get into this National Border Patrol. Well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to get into that. Well, I think I can do it. I can do it. I got 10 minutes. I can do this. Let's do this. The National Border Patrol Council revealed that the San Diego sector of the U.S. Border Patrol is making plans to receive, process, and then release 500 illegal aliens into the United States per week, who were shipped in from Texas, specifically from the Rio Grande Valley Border Patrol sector. The specifics on how the illegal aliens are transported is unclear at this time. However, recently, some have been flown at the taxpayers' expense, and some have been transported on buses. The Murrieta Border Patrol Station of the San Diego sector is not equipped to handle that type of influx of illegal aliens, both in terms of manpower and infrastructure. Yeah. The station is generally utilized as a border patrol station, not a processing center. Once processed, the illegal aliens will be given a court date and paperwork telling them when to report back. And yeah, they're going to do it. He acknowledged that most never do. Well, duh. They will be released into a city that has no services to assist them, no shelters for them, not even a bus station. Well, look, I'm not really big on accommodating these illegal aliens. However, I'm not really big on not allowing these people to have any kind of facilities. They're still people. They're still people. And you don't do that. You don't do that to these people. You don't do it to the people of this town. You put them on a bus and you send them back to Mexico where they belong. They came over here illegally. Now, if they don't have, can't find any services there in Mexico, that's not our problem. They're Mexican citizens. They're Guatemalan citizens. They're Central American citizens. They're South American citizens. God only knows how many people have gone to Mexico and then crossed the border. That could be from anywhere. We don't really know how many illegal aliens we actually have in this country and what countries they're from. This president flat refuses to secure our border, which, look, hey, in a perfect world, we shouldn't even have to have a fence. We shouldn't have to have anything. Should just be very easy to walk across, but we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a time right now where there are lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that want to kill us. They don't like us. They procreate specifically to raise more children to grow up to kill more Americans. That's the only reason why they procreate. It's the only reason why they get a wife. And we want to give these people money. We want to give them weapons. We want to give their generals back. We want to have conversations with them. We want to support them. Jesus, God almighty, man. It's time to impeach, period. Conversation just ended. There's nothing more to discuss. This man needs to go. This entire government needs to go. That's about all the time we have. I want to thank everybody for listening here today. I know there's a lot of people on their smartphones. Looks like we got Holger was in there in the chat room. Iggy Mom. Looks like Doc was there. So thanks everybody for listening here today. Everybody's on their smartphones, and we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.